And good afternoon. It is Wednesday, October 31st. It is Halloween. Oh my goodness. Scary, scary day here. 18 minutes past the hour, and it's going to be a great program today. Now, coming up next hour, you'll want to stay tuned, because the mayor of Marion, Scott Schertzer, who was with us yesterday, is going to be on with us via telephone at the top of the next hour. He wants to share something regarding trick-or-treat. So we will have him on next hour. Also, Dr. Ronald Fineman, political scientist and author, is going to discuss the upcoming election. So that will all happen next hour. But here on Halloween, before we head into the election, you want to have somebody on who is a friend, who is fun, because that's what Halloween is supposed to be all about, fun. So who better to go to than a gentleman who genuinely makes me laugh, and we always have a lot of fun. He is a legendary comedian, a prince among prince, a king among kings in the world of stand-up comedy. And before I tell you who it is, I'm sure you can already guess. We got to set the scene a little bit here on Halloween, set the mood here. Oh, there we go. We'll see how long we can tolerate that. Let's go to legendary comedian Shecky Green. Shecky, how are you?
Music.
Yes, we're turning it. There we go.
Could I tell you that Halloween came, so 2 weeks ago, I started to buy candy. I wanted to make sure that I had enough candy for the kids. So 2 weeks ago, I started to buy candy, and 2 weeks ago, I started to eat candy. So by the time Halloween came, which is today, there's no candy left. But I do have an extra 11 pounds, so when the kids come, I'm going to just hit my stomach like Santa Claus, go, ho, 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 it was good.
Well, I have to tell you, Shecky, one of our devoted listeners came by this morning, and they brought a bag of candy. It's Hershey's candy and some red wine, holiday themed for Halloween. Have you ever heard such a thing, holiday wine?
Well, wine is good for every holiday. I mean, you drink wine at any time, and you can call your own holiday. Make up your own holiday.
Well, I did have about a quarter of a cup of this red wine today, because I hear red wine is good for your heart.
And also good for the guy that sells red wine.
That's right. Does his
He's the one that started that rumor, you know.
You know, it tastes good, but it kind of reminds me, it tastes like apple butter, like you're drinking apple butter.
No, let me tell you something. I first tasted wine when I was 8 days old. Now, you may ask me, why was I 8 days old?
Yeah, why were you drinking?
You do know why I was 8 days old.
Why were you drinking wine?
There was a little ritual that we have that they do to a Jewish baby, you know? So what the rabbi does, he puts a little wine on the baby's lips, not knowing that maybe 5 out of the 10 kids that taste that wine at 8 days old become alcoholics. And they all got to blame it on that little ritual that they caused.
Oh, my goodness.
If anybody wants to know what the ritual is, they can write to me. I'll give them my address.
Well, is Halloween big in your neighborhood, Shecky?
No, not in this neighborhood. Let's see. I don't have many kids in this neighborhood.
You know, I have, I don't want to call them spies, but I guess informants, they're in your neighborhood, and I got a rumor that you were going as Hervé Villechaize this year with all the interest that's been stirred up.
The way I'm walking, I'm already Hervé Villechaize. I broke my leg, and I'm not walking too good. So, and you want to know what's very funny about that? With the feelings that we have for little people, there was something about when I was a kid, when you were like Hervé Villechaize, that you took to these people. Like when we were kids, we loved midgets. Do you remember when you were a kid, you see a midget?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever say to your mother, you know, how old is that baby or something? But anyway, I became very close with the midgets. And when they formed a union, Billy, oh my God, look at the way I forgot his name. Billy, oh, he was famous. He did everything.
Oh, anyway, Billy Barty.
Billy Barty, my God, thank you. Billy Barty became a head of the union, and they all came up on my stage one time, much of the union people, and they made me an honorary member. And every time they would come to Vegas, I would get them up on the stage, and there were people that were in Wizard of Oz and pictures like that, and the people loved it. I don't know how I got into this conversation.
You know, I thought I would be the unsharp one with the red wine today. Maybe not.
Oh yeah, you want to know something? It could be me.
No,
I'll tell you what. I haven't had a bit of sleep. Since I've had this thing, my hours are turned around. Now I'm asleep all day, and I'm up all night. So right now is night for me. And I shouldn't be talking while it's night.
So you'll be getting ready for...
What kind of night is this? I'm talking much too much, but I'm not making any sense. I'm kind of dense. What can I do? Oh! Yeah, that's it. I got it now.
So after the program tonight, this is like a late night program for you. You'll be going to bed.
I go right to bed. Are you kidding? This really is like a night show for me.
This is Halloween.
I fump a lot when I don't sleep. You know, I can't get the words together. Trump has got the same trouble, I think.
Well, he does tweet in the middle of the night a lot.
Oh, poor Trump. Could I tell you something? He went and he put a stone on the monument in Pittsburgh. And I think most of the Jewish people are calling up and having the cemetery take the stone off. We put a stone on instead of flowers, because the stone lasts, you know, forever.
Well, that whole thing, what a sad event. But yesterday when the president went there, there was controversy. Controversy just seems to follow him.
Well, some people think it's a good thing and some people think it's a bad thing. I don't understand why people don't understand. His daughter, you know, converted to Judaism.
Yes.
Yes. So she's a Jew, and the son-in-law is a Jew, and they wanted to go, you know. But the only trouble, he did not look good in a yarmulke. That's not his style, with the blonde hair. Now, you know what a yarmulke is.
I do.
Yes. So that's not his style, wearing a yarmulke.
I saw you wear a yarmulke in an episode of Roseanne.
Yeah, yes, yes. I sold that yarmulke for $50 for Roseanne.
Oh, yeah,
somebody put a stone on her program. I saw one of the programs, just a little bit of it, the Connors, and he has lost a lot of weight.
John Goodman. John. Yes, he has. He's very thin now.
Yes, unbelievable.
Maybe he had one of those gastric bypasses.
Oh, I think he did have one of those a long time ago. He had that, he was living in New Orleans, and he had one then. But I don't think you're going to have two of them.
I don't know. Maybe the first one didn't take.
Unless you got a big gastric.
You know, it's interesting because this is an eating holiday. Well, Halloween's not really a holiday, I guess. It's an eating day where people will eat their weight in candy today, and tomorrow everybody will be kind of lackadaisical.
Well, why should the people eat the kids? Only for the kids. When I was a kid, it was only for the kids.
Now, did you go out on Halloween as a kid?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to figure out if we did or not. I don't know, because we had candy in the house all the time. So getting candy from other people was really not a big thrill. My mother kept candy in the house. Most of the Jewish families always had fruit or candy in the middle of the table.
Now, have you kept up the Jewish traditions as you've gotten older?
Yes. Well, no, I shouldn't say, because I'm not married to I'm married to an Italian girl. I'm not married to a Jewish girl. The one girl I cheat with is Jewish, but not. I don't live with her all the time. I'm going to get letters now from that. That's not true. I'm married to an Italian girl. Può fare niente, le devo fare la cedura, tenga cacciare.
So you
don't
have,
let anybody figure that out.
Well, so you've got in about 60 days here, you've got Christmas because you're married to an Italian woman, and you've also got Hanukkah because you're Jewish.
I celebrate them all. I mean, if there's kids around, I celebrate them. Christmas and Hanukkah and all of that stuff is really for the kids. And for us to enjoy, the kids enjoying it.
Now, do you have grandkids, Shecky?
I don't have grandchildren. No. I have two adopted daughters who are magnificent, but I do not have. They didn't bless me with a grandchild.
You'd be a great grandfather.
Oh, are you kidding? I love kids. When I see little kids, like I go into Walmart or places like the Costco, and there's little kids, I say, "Let me take care of your kid," and that's what I do. And I can't, oh, something I'm going to tell you, and this is the honest to God's truth. I keep a bunch of toys in the back of my car. And when I go to a restaurant or something, I bring in, if I see kids, I bring in a ball, I bring in a doll. And I've done that now for about 5 years, and it gives me great joy.
Well, that's a very nice thing. And when you're driving, you're still out there at 92. Did you go to the market this morning?
No, not this morning. Now, do you mean sing my song to the girl at the market?
Yes.
No, I'm going to, on the other phone, I'll call and say, "I'm coming to the market, get ready for me. I deserve a little bit of half the fee. Don't charge me like the rest of the folks. I just want to sing this song." Oh, no, that's it. Okay, no more of that.
You know, Halloween is interesting.
I am going nuts. You do know that.
It's good.
One day when you call, they're going to say, "Oh, they took him away. He was singing and a car came up, took him away."
Now, when you drive today, do you still like to go out and drive around?
No. No, because, first of all, there's something wrong with my car. That's number one. And number two is that at this age, they sort of look at you. That when the cop goes by, the cop sort of looks at you real close and wondering why you're only doing 7 miles an hour.
Have you ever thought about taking the car to a mechanic?
Yes, I took it to a mechanic. Yeah, and he was a year older than me, so he didn't want to know what was wrong with it. So we just sat there and had a little wine.
I've heard that can happen. You know, Shecky, last time as we were wrapping up the program, you were talking about your trials and tribulations with your psychiatrists.
Is that funny? I was just going to bring that up.
Oh, my. Now, one died on the tennis court.
Yes, so Leonard died on the tennis court.
And one tried to sell you a used...
One did sell me. He sold me $500 a treadmill that didn't work.
Oh, my.
The third one, when he found out I had food that was taken home, went down to the car and ate it. And was kept on putting his finger in the pipe. They cleaned their pipe, you know, when they're speaking. "Hello, I want to talk to you just a moment. I have to clean my pipe. Was the sleep muffin drowned?"
So, I guess the question is, do you currently have a good psychiatrist?
No, I don't. But let me tell you something. That, you know, I've thought about what we're just talking about. People on our business, my business, I hear myself talking. It sounds terrible. I'm fumbling. People in my business, have you noticed it, always have a problem, like actors and mostly comedians. Take a look at our Roseanne. Take a look at our Bill Cosby's. Take a look. Now, what happens to us people? Are we different, the people that do comedy, than ordinary people? Like, I'm bipolar. I'm not only bipolar. I'm North Polar, South Polar, and I'm West Polar. Can I tell you? And I may change my last name to Shecky Polar. But it's an amazing thing. I look about people in show business. That's what makes these magazines and everything. But people in show got a particular problem. And maybe that's why we sort of go towards being in show business. to get that love and that respect and everything from an audience.
Well, it is interesting because it goes back to our initial conversation about Hervé Villechaize. Maybe he, because Ricardo Montalban said he was a nice guy at the start of Fantasy Island, but by the end he was a little hard to deal with.
Well, you know, after a while, when you become a star like that, you sort of look up to Ricardo Montalban when you're working with and say, I want to tell you, why wasn't I something like him? Why was I not beautiful like him? 6 feet two. General Ziclé Plonvange, they made me this little man. You know, they made me look like Toulouse-Lautrec, and I don't paint.
Well, I think it's important because
yeah, but I like that one.
That was good. Well, I think we're in the right arena here today because, and it's been told before, but it's important. Why? For
wait
people,
a minute, my dog is barking.
Oh, okay.
This is not for you. It's ready. Okay.
Okay. Whoa, the dog.
That's not my dog. That's my cat. She does impressions.
That's good. When it comes to Halloween time, it's interesting because your initial meeting with Hervé Villechaize was not a pleasant one.
Wait, let me get rid of this dog.
Okay.
My original meeting with Hervé Villechaize.
Yeah, it was not pleasant because you were given...
Well, it wasn't unpleasant until I met him. On the way there, it was okay.
But did you know you were late that day?
No, I really didn't. I don't know why, but I have done four or five things where I've been late. So, like, my call is, somebody gives me a call at 8 o'clock. I'm there at 8 o'clock. And I say, your call was at 6 o'clock, you know.
Who was relaying these messages?
No, I would get them. I actually would get them. There was the thing with Hank, Tom Hanks. I did that picture with him. What the hell was the name of the picture? Tom Hanks picture that I played in. I forgot what I played in even. Listen, folks, I'm 93. Please forgive me. If it wasn't in front of me, a piece of paper with my name on it, I wouldn't know who I was right now. But I did that picture with Tom Hanks, and my call was for 8 o'clock, and I was supposed to be there at 6 o'clock. So when I got there, Tom Hanks wouldn't talk to me. He didn't even want to meet me.
Now, what were you in this movie?
I was supposed to be a guy in the produce business, and he and John Candy had a produce business, and I bought my stuff from them. But it was a great scene. And we have an argument, and then he takes a half a grapefruit and puts it in my face, which would have been sensational because that's what people would have remembered. But I got there too late for that particular shot, so they did it anyway. I guess he was mad, so he did it anyway. That was, I guess, his kind of humor. He put the grapefruit in my face. It wasn't going to be shown.
And that was Tom Hanks.
Yeah, so I've been ever since I was, you know, Tom Hanks once put a grapefruit in my face.
Oh, I think
it wasn't Jimmy Cagney, but it was Tom Hanks.
I think the movie was Splash.
It was Splash. Yeah, I guess.
Yes. Now, how was John Candy on the set?
John Candy was a doll. John Candy was a sweet, wonderful man. And he also had a house, Rye had a house up in Lake Arrowhead.
Now, was he easy to deal? He wasn't like a Tom Hanks.
Well, I mean, I didn't really get to meet Tom Hanks. I met John, you know, and John and I talked, and John said, don't let that bother you, you know. When I said to him, this guy didn't even say hello.
So really, Tom Hanks and Hervé Villechaize, you had similar experiences with.
Well, once in a while, I forget, I call Tom Hanks Hervé.
But the difference with Hervé was, now when we look at that situation, do you think Hervé was just insecure about his wife? Was that the issue?
Well, you know what? Harry's married to this very, she's a pretty girl, you know, a normal pretty girl. And I imagine the complex he had just in general, you know, with people, when they would meet her and meet him, and he would say, I want to tell you something. This is my wife. you know, would you go, what? That he must have got 3,000 watts a day. You know, this is my, I went to take this to my wife. What?
So you got to the set, and he immediately read you the riot act because you were late.
Well, I was late, and then nobody else told me. The director didn't tell me really off. What's his name? Our wonderful friend wouldn't tell me off.
Ricardo.
You know.
But Hervé, what did
Hervé, you know, came up to me and hit my knee. Matter of fact, that's how I remember him. He gave me a whack in the knee.
And what did he say to you?
I wanted to tell you something. We're all waiting for you, and you should meet. You're late. What do you think you are, a star? He was yelling at me in French.
So, the you know, as they say, the ire had already been raised, and then you went over and met his wife.
No, the wife came over to me, Linda. But I think, I don't know what her name
Linda,
was.
Linda, yes.
Linda. And she came over and she said, Shecky, I hadn't even met her yet. She said, Shecky, would you like a cup of coffee? And I says, yes, I'd love one. I really didn't know it was his wife yet. He says, hey, I want to tell you something. You're talking to my wife. You don't talk to my wife, you understand? That's my wife. He said, Razigil de Pompage. Et bien, comble me Razigil. And I said to him, oh, yeah.
And at what point did he pull out the firearm?
He told me. He says, I want to tell you something. I've got a gun. You know, now use it. He's in the house. I says, you got a gun? Yes, I got a gun. So that's when I first knew about the gun. That's why I kept telling him, this little son of a gun someday is going to kill somebody. He did, him.
Now, Ricardo saw you and he have this falling out.
And, oh, I loved Ricardo.
And he stepped in.
Shecky, I want to tell you something. He's a little strange man. Don't worry about it because he got a temper. But you do what you want to do. I told you that he and I used to play handball together, you know.
Well, in this...
And he had, you know, he had polio. People didn't know about it when he was on the screen.
Ricardo was very suave.
Well, yeah, but he limped a lot, was suave or no suave. And he was married to, as I said before, Loretta Young's sister, Georgia.
Now, to top this off, you had a scene in the Fantasy Island program where you were trying to sell some fake real estate to Hervé.
I did an English accent, you know. Also, you know, I've got his wonderful land, and it's like a whole island, and you're going to love it. I went to tell you, I don't want to buy no land. He's trying to sell me land. I said, but you've got to understand, I'm going out of the business, and I want to sell this to you because I want somebody that I like to have it. Well, as I said that line, I would like to kill this little Bafanablamudurvajengalagore.
You know, I don't know how you both did not win Emmy Awards for that scene.
No. Could I tell you something? I was never a television, to be a television star or a movie star. I just needed a nightclub, and that's all for me. I never was crazy about doing a thing 15 times over in a scene. When the one actor said, I don't like the way I did that, we got to do it over again. The director says, Mr. Green, can we see you, please? Would you mind doing this again? We did it 15 times, you know.
Oh, that's awful. That seems like work.
Well, it gets very, you know, and by the time you've, In the 15 times that you're doing it, there's one or two that are good, and the other 13 are bad, so you don't know which one they're going to use.
Well, that is true.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and you know, it's interesting, because on Halloween, I have actually seen people, adults mostly, not kids, who dress up as Ed Sullivan. He's still in people's mind.
Who dresses up like Ed Sullivan? Ed Sullivan didn't even dress up like Ed Sullivan. He wore, you know, he had a little humpback, Ed. He was over his round shoulders, you know?
Oh.
And it, when it came at you, it looked like he was falling. He had it. Shecky, I want to talk to you now. You're going on here, and this happens to be a wonderful, wonderful show. I'm number one in the ratings. Are you really? Would I say I was number one if I wasn't number one? He'd love to get mad. I'm number one. Right now on our show, Chicky, Chikey, Chucky. What is that fat kid's name?
No, people do dress up as him. I've seen this. Groups of people get together, and one dresses as
himself. Wait, my wife is leaving.
Look at the ladies outside.
Yeah, I threw her out. She was talking, barking.
She can't see
him. I said she was talking. Okay.
Groups of people get together, and one person will be Ed Sullivan, and the rest of them will be the Beatles.
Oh, that's the show that he had the Beatles on.
Yes. Were you ever there on a big night, like when he had the Beatles or Elvis?
No, you know who was on there? Marty Allen and Mitch DeWood.
Oh.
Marty Allen and the other kid that passed away.
You know, we had Marty on this show a bunch. Marty was a good guy.
Marty was a wonderful man. I knew Marty from Pittsburgh.
Crazy hair, Marty Allen.
Oh, Marty Allen. Buddy Hackett talked on the right side, and Marty talked on the left side. They could never talk to each other. You couldn't hear. Buddy would be on this side like this. Hi, my name is Buddy Hackett, and Marty Allen is doing me on the other side.
You know, I believe Marty Allen told me that he and Steve Rossi were on Ed Sullivan the night the Beatles were on.
They were on at the same time, that's right.
Yeah.
They became famous for that.
But
that's the way they got built, that Marty Allen and Steve Rossi that were on the Beatles show.
Now, when you were on, how many times would you say you were on Ed Sullivan?
About 10 or 12.
Was there ever a big act that night beside you that was on?
An elephant. Is that big enough for you?
Well, he needed... How did Ed change from the beginning of the show to the end of the show?
Well, you know what? He was never nervous. I wouldn't call him nervous, because you couldn't tell when he was nervous. Because he was nervous the same way he wasn't nervous. You know, but he really thought he was a star. Shecky, I want to tell you something. I know comedy. You do, Ed? Yes. And I want to tell you, when I go out there, I can make them laugh. Well, he didn't have to do anything to make them laugh. He said one day, Dolores Gray, somebody was in, he says, right here in the audience, we have a girl that's starving on Broadway right now. Want to say starring. It's starving on Broadway. And he would make those little mistakes. They didn't know what people remembered. And that was the joy of him. And because he really, I don't think he knew what he was doing half the time, if it wasn't for the producer.
But all these shows now, when we look back on that era, we see the shows because they all were taped. But we like to know what was going on during the day, behind the scenes, because that was a live show on Sunday night. Like, what was going on there behind the scenes?
Well, you know, I never knew what was going on. I mean, I did it, Mike, when you were called to do your spot, you did your spot. But, I mean, the one thing that I remember, he had the animal act on, and they didn't feed the animal act at the right time, because they have to be fed at the right time so they can eliminate. But when he had them on, and here they are right now, Francois and his dogs. Well, the dogs came out, and they were they didn't do the tricks, the right tricks. And I heard him back say, "Can anybody? Did we have that in the rehearsal? Did they do that? I want this is Ed. Did they do that during rehearsal?"
Now it's fascinating, because did you ever have a good experience there when you walked with Ed? Not on stage, but was it ever a time where you guys weren't at odds?
No, not until after, and then we became, I fell in love with him, and he fell in love with me, because he was on his way out, and we got together in Las Vegas, and I sat for hours with him.
Do you remember?
And she was gone, you know, the wife was gone, and he really didn't have too many friends after that.
Do you remember the first time you met him?
The worst time or the first time?
Both. We'll take both at this point.
First time. What's the first time? Does it rhyme? Either time. First time I met him, well, he came back to Vegas. Shecky, I want you to come on my show, and you are going to be one of the biggest things that I've ever had on my show. I did the first show. He says, you stunk. You'll never be on my show again. I said, did you remember what you said to me? But I don't care what I said to you then. Yes, I'll never forget that.
Now wait a second. So he told you you stunk, but who booked you again?
No, he had me on a contract.
Oh, so he had to...
He signed me for so many spots.
So he had to put you on.
Well, he really didn't. He could have paid me off, you know. He had me on again.
So after he said you stunk, when you came back the second time, what was the mood there?
Well, he said you stunk worse the second time. Shecky, I want to tell you something. You were worse tonight than you were the time before. Now, you're going to... I said, that's my act. That's what I'm doing intentionally. I'm intentionally stinking it up. Oh, I didn't know that.
So
you want to come back and do that again? Yes. And I'll really stink this time, Ed. My God. They'll turn you off.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. He once cut me down from 8 minutes to 2 minutes, and I had to do a thing where I took the microphone apart. It was the most ridiculous thing in the world. People said, weren't you? I saw you for a couple of seconds on the Ed Sullivan Show. You know.
Oh, my. So,
because you can't do anything in 2 minutes.
Now, how did that happen? I mean,
he just came to me and said, Shecky, I got an extra part on this, and I got to cut you down to 2 minutes. I said, I can't do 2 minutes. Ed, I'll come back another Sunday. No, you'll do it right now. Okay? So I did it right now. And that particular 2 minutes that I did almost caused a riot because I turned the microphone upside down and I talked to miners that were buried in an explosion. And I'm talking to the miners, and there really was a mine disaster at the same time.
Oh, no.
In Nova Scotia.
Oh.
Now, when I was walking off the stage, you dirty rat, you just lost me Canada. Because I did this thing, he thought I did it intentionally. And I had to give my salary to the people in Nova Scotia. He got Canada back.
Now, one of my favorite guests over the years is, God bless her, the late Phyllis Diller used to come on. Now, she told me a story. She was booked on the last Ed Sullivan. And she said she went down there and she did her act, you know, in rehearsal, and Ed cut all her punchlines. So she said she went up to his son-in-law, who I guess was a producer at that time, and she said, I can't go on. He cut all my punchlines. So she had to walk out of the last show, and she'd been advertised because I remember Phyllis telling me that.
Well, you know what's funny is I'm the one that really got him to get the comics to tell their routines to him. Because of me and the things that I did, he would call now the comics into the green room, and he would say, what are you going to do? I want to ask you, what are you going to do? Well, you can't sit there with one individual, and especially one with no sense of humor, and do an act. You know, so what she was telling him, he said, no, I don't want that. That's out. That's out. She says, I just said hello. Oh, you can leave that in.
Now, what was your experience of having to tell Ed your act?
No, I never told Ed my act.
So when you went into the green room, what would transpire?
No, he never took me. He never took me. He was always going to take me in the green room. I never went into the green room. I never did anything for him. I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have worked. I would have just left.
So the coal miner experience, and he told you you stunk. Were you close to the end of the run? Were you on during that time?
Yeah, but then he came here to Vegas, and he owed me 3 shows.
Oh.
And I was going to do a show in Vegas. And I saw his trucks and everything from my window at the Riviera Hotel across the way, and they never called me. So finally I called him, and I said, oh, I called up the Desert Inn where he was staying, and I said, I'd like to talk to Ed Sullivan. And they said, he just won't take calls. I tell him it's his son-in-law, Bob Precht. So they got me through him, and I said, Ed, you owe me 3 Who is this? I said, Chicky, Chucky, Chucky. Oh. I said, you owe me 3 I said, if you're not going to use me, pay me off. So I went over, and he gave me a check.
Oh.
He wrote me a check to write me out, and I took the check from his room to down to the casino, and I lost it all.
Oh, no.
I swear on my mother, I lost every penny of that check.
Was it a good check?
Was it good for the Desert Inn? Wasn't good for me. Was it a good check?
Well, no, did Ed pay well, I guess is what I'm asking.
You know what? I got what I didn't think later on was a lot of money, but William Morris, who was not my agent, kept telling him he was overpaying me. So he had that feeling, too, that he had signed for 10 spots, and every time he saw me, he thought he could have got me cheaper, you know.
did
and here he is right now, one of my more expensive acts.
did he ever, here's what I guess, I'm confused. Did you ever have a manager who could have talked to the Sullivan people and said, hey, listen, there's a problem?
At that time, I didn't. I had a manager who was 6'5" and lisp. And this was a bad lisp day for him. Listen, he talked like this. Are you smart? Hiya. I was in between managers at that time.
Oh.
And I sent a guy, and this is the truth, a guy that was my partner in New Orleans. And I sent him to be my agent, originally with Ed Sullivan. To talk to Ed Sullivan, he was frightened to death, my friend. And he couldn't talk to Sullivan. And he'd say, Mr. Sullivan, and Sullivan would say yes. And then he would stand there. And Sullivan said, you were here for Shecky? And Sullivan did all the talking. Are you here from Shecky? I want Shecky to do my show. And my poor guy was frozen. He couldn't speak. He couldn't say, yeah, we want $5,000 for a show. You know, he'd say, what do you, and then Sullivan said to him, well, what is your son? What is it here you want? And my guy went, I can. It's always good to have an agent like that.
Did Ed ever give you a good introduction?
Yeah, he was, yes, whatever. He never gave anybody sensational. You know, here he is right now. I was in Las Vegas, and I saw this boy. And here's what's his name? Yes. Shirker. Chicky. He can never get it right. I used to call him Edie Idy Oody. Thank you, Edie Idy Oody.
Was there anybody back there helping this man? Did he have people?
You know, I never really... I went, I did the show. I'm trying to forget everything bad that happened. He had a producer whose sister was the one with the puppet. They were with the lamb.
Oh, Shelley Lewis. Sherry Lewis.
Sherry Lewis. Her brother was the producer of the show. I forget his name.
Mr. Lewis.
The last name was Lewis, right. But anyway, he didn't do much. He talked to me a little bit about something, but they didn't interrupt him at all much. Then he got Bob Precht after Bob Precht, I think, got out of the Navy.
Did you ever see Ed treating other people in an ill manner like he treated you?
Never, because he never had two people on the stage at the same time.
So he did.
He never did that. So, I never saw him do that.
So as soon as you came off, he just met you.
Oh, sometimes he met me in the middle of the stage. Are you kidding? When that thing happened with the miners, that disaster, and then the worst thing was when I did the anniversary show.
Oh, the anniversary show.
He had the 11th anniversary.
Oh boy.
And he says to me, Shecky, what are you going to do today? And I never knew what I was going to do. I says, you just got back, well, you and Sylvia just got back from Europe. And I said, you'll tell them that you met a German comic in Berlin, and you brought him back. All right? Shekel Grobel. So he's, all right, that's going to be good. And I, ladies and gentlemen, I was with Sylvia and I, we're in Europe, and we went to a German nightclub. Had a nice stein of beer. Had there's some sandwiches, I think. And then I saw this boy, and I said to myself, I'm bringing him back. And he introduced me, and I came out. And I says, all right, Mr. Sullivan has been on 11 years. And already, the reason for that is he don't sing, he don't dance, he don't do nothing. That's why he's been on 11 years.
Ooh.
And then he waited for me in the middle of the stage. You dirty rat. As I told you to bill Hitler, not me, to bring Hitler into work. You didn't have to bring me. He could have bought his third army on. Oh, that was every time that I'd see him off of that show, or I'd say to his wife, Sylvia, why do we hate Shecky Green? I swear to my mother, we were in an elevator together, and we were all together, and he says to Sylvia, why do we hate Shecky Green? I'm standing right there.
God.
And Sylvia, you don't have to tell him. I'll tell him.
Well, what do you think that was, that you and he just didn't see eye to eye?
It wasn't that. Listen, for television, I told you, I wasn't I didn't write anything special like these people write 6 months in advance for what they're going to do. The night before, I'd sit down and go, pop, 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 pop. You know, you can't do a show that way.
But obviously, he saw something in you the first time he saw you.
Oh, yeah, and then he became a fan. We at the end, I told you, we became very good friends.
But while you were on the show, it was bad.
Well, it was not that he was sorry that William Morris told him that he was paying too much, and then I did the thing on the miners, then I did the thing on the, you know, if I had his show and I was doing what Shecky Green was, I'd get rid of him too.
But he couldn't get rid of you.
You don't want a mine disaster while there's a mine disaster.
Well, no, I understand that, but he thought you did that on purpose.
Yeah, well, I didn't know, but yes. Oh, well, sure.
Well, but you couldn't reason. Could you say, Ed, I didn't know?
No, I couldn't know. No, that was it. I just ended up telling that story on stage, and it became funny, you know. It became part of my routine.
Well, wasn't there a time when he would seclude you during the day? That's how the green room became the green room?
No. The only time that he and I ever really was the restaurant, the little restaurant in New York with the little guy that owned it, another Irv Village Italian, where they found rats and stuff in the back. Everybody used to go to that restaurant.
That's no good.
No. Not unless you order rats. But we were there once, and then I got very friendly with him after the show when he was on his way out.
Now, would he? Did he ever do Halloween themed shows?
No, I don't know.
No, he did Christmas shows, I think.
Oh well, maybe that I you know, I really don't remember. I wasn't a great Ed Sullivan watcher.
Well, it was kind of an interesting show. What was it like down there in New York at that time at the Ed Sullivan Theater on Broadway?
Well, he was the biggest. You got to admit, let me tell you, for television, his show was one of the best as far as variety shows. That really didn't have, I think it was the only variety show. And you got every act you could possibly want on there. So I guess he was number one around there for a long, long time. And even if you got no talent, he had no talent. You know, he was a sports writer.
Well, and they did change the name at one point. It went from the Toast of the Town to Ed Sullivan.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't, because there were so many people doing Ed Sullivan. Everybody in the world was doing Ed Sullivan at that time, because he was funny. This little round-shouldered man coming out, you know, with no neck. And right here tonight on our show, our show, yes, our show. And here it is, and he would forget and foomph and everything else, and it was funny.
Well, he was
funnier than Topo Chico. Hello, Ed. I want to tell you something. You are funny, Ed. Hello, little Topo. Right here, little Topo Chico.
Now, isn't Topo Chico France for a French?
I don't think he. I don't know. Did one of those? We got to check.
Senor.
I don't think so. I thought he was Spanish or something. Like what was the other guy with the? You like? I like. You know.
Yes. Senor Wences.
No. Marcel. He didn't talk.
Who is? I know who you're talking about. Talk to his hand.
Talked in the box.
Yeah, what?
Senor
Wences, yes.
Yeah.
There we go. Well,
Senor Wences.
Shecky, as we head into the holiday season, I'd like to have you back on sometime soon and read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Do you have a copy of that laying around?
No, not laying around.
Well, we'll work on that between...
I got The Night Before Hanukkah.
What's that sound like?
Night Before Hanukkah. Who should have been another holiday, but we went to the store and we bought the wrong thing this day. I bought it on Hanukkah, not Christmas at all. But all of a sudden, I heard a man call, "Happy and Merry Christmas to one and one." Okay.
Shecky, nobody better to have on today. Nobody better any day to have on than you. Thank you
well,
so much.
Well, can I tell you how I enjoy it? This keeps me in show business. And I love you, and I love your audience, and I don't know what else I could possibly say. Let's pray for Ed Sullivan's ghost.
I love you. Happy Halloween.
Oh, is it Halloween already again? Wasn't it just an hour ago?
It comes Shecky Green.
The bell is ringing. All the kids are out there. The bell is ringing. Cookies going. All the candy they'll be eating. What a wonderful day. What can I say? Happy Halloween to you.
Shecky Green, thank you.
All righty.
Bye-bye. We're coming back.
Family members who are ill. The bills were pretty high, and I had to support these people.